Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Would you please stand for the reading of our sermon text this morning? Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 22. This is the Word of God. May it take root in our lives and bear fruit for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask today that Your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and in our lives, that You would have Your own way with us, that You would rule and reign, that You would accomplish Your holy purposes in us. May we bear the fruit of the Spirit as we surrender ourselves to You. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear Your Word. I pray that You would grant me the grace to preach faithfully and truthfully. Let all I say be in agreement with Your will. May Your people be blessed. And I pray especially for those who are not Christians, that today would be the day they come to faith in Jesus Christ as their only hope, their Lord and Savior. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. God's plan for every Christian is to make them look like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's plan, God's goal for your life is to make you look like Jesus. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. When you become a Christian, you have a new person coming into you. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and He begins to change you from the inside out. I want you to imagine a garden. How many of you are planting gardens? I'm glad. I'm looking forward to what you produce and bring to me. Somebody asked me if I was planting a garden. I said, no, I got church people. They bring me stuff. I don't have to plant no stinking garden. The Holy Spirit plants a garden, as it were, in your heart. He plants it and He grows spiritual fruit. He breaks up the hard soil of our hearts. He pulls out the rocks of rebellion. He takes out the weeds of sin. He fertilizes our souls with the Word of God and prayer. He uses the church to plow and till us so that He can cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in us. And He produces spiritual fruit. And as it grows, we see the various characteristics and qualities of that fruit. There are 9 characteristics identified of the fruit of the Spirit. And if you want, you can think of those as the 3 dimensions of relationships that we have. The 3 areas in which we engage with others, the relationships that we have with those around us and within us. Just like the fruit in your garden has characteristics, the spiritual fruit in your life is to have particular characteristics. So we group them into the 3 triads that relate to the 3 dimensions of relationships we have. The upward relationship we have with the Lord, the outward relationship we have with other people, and then the inward relationship we have with ourselves. So if you're tracking with the sermon this morning, you want to know when I'm going to finish. That's what I'm talking about today. The upward relationship, the outward relationship, and the inward relationship. The upward relationship is our relationship with God, this upward dimension. Love, joy, and peace. These are to characterize our relationship with God. Love is devotion to and delight in God supremely. It includes respect and affection for the Lord. This love leads us to sacrificial service. When we love God as we should, that love will, of course, overflow and spill out to others. But it's first of all centered on God. And we, by nature, do not love God originally. We don't start off with a loving disposition toward God. The Bible tells us that we were actually enemies of God. It's the work of the Spirit that creates love for God within us. God loves us first, and so then we love God. But that, because He loves us, we love Him. Friends, if you don't love God as you should, it's because you've not yet received His love by trusting in Him. And if you don't love God as you should with all of your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, you'll not love other people the way that you ought to love. So love begins not first with other people or even with ourselves, but love begins first of all with the Lord. God's love for us, our love for God, and as that mushrooms, as it blossoms, it goes out to other people. But it's first of all a love centered on the Lord. Secondly, we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Our relationship with God is to be marked by joy. Joy is happiness that's rooted in God, specifically in God's nature, His character, and in His promises. Joy is not found in favorable circumstances, nor is it lost in difficult circumstances. If that's what your joy is in, then you have artificial joy, you have defective joy, you have sub-Christian joy. Because your joy, Christian joy, the joy that comes from the Spirit, is found not in the stuff that's going on in your life. Because let's face it, some of us are facing really tough times. Some of us face great challenges and difficulties. Some of us are going through great pain and misery and sorrow. Yet you can still have joy if you find your joy in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is joy that comes in our relationship with the Lord. Joy originates in the unchanging God who loves us and fulfills His good purposes for us. The eternal realities decreed by our sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, and immutable God is where you draw joy from. Not the stuff that's going on in your life, whether you think it's good or bad. The third characteristic of our relationship with God, this upward dimension, is peace. Peace is the inner calm and the assurance that all is well because God is God. And we are secure in our saving relationship with Him through Christ. This idea of peace is connected to the concept of having it all put together. Who was it that sang, "I fall to pieces"? Was that Patsy Cline? I don't remember. You know, some of us live that way. You know, we all fall to pieces. Some things happen in our lives and it's a person or it's an experience, and all of a sudden we're just falling apart. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's having it put together. Not because you can keep it all together, but because God puts it together for you and you're trusting and resting and relying upon Him. When you have peace, it means that you can keep it all together when everything and everyone around you is falling apart. This upward dimension of discipleship, this vertical relationship, is rooted in God's mercy and grace to us. We love Him because He first loved us. We experience joy because in His presence is the fullness of joy. We have peace because peace is established when we are rightly related to God who works all things together for our good, the God who will never leave us nor forsake us. And this morning, I want to know, do you know this God? Do you have these things in your life? Do you have love in your life? Do you have joy in your soul? Do you have peace from day to day? I don't know about you, but I want those things. I need those things. And the only place that we will have those things is through the Lord. And the only way you're going to get them from God is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Friends, some of you are here today and your life is just a total train wreck. Everything is a mess. And I want you to know, it's not because of the issues that you have with your parents. It's not the issues that you have with your spouse. It's not the issues that you have with your kids. It's not the issues that you have with your physical health. It's not the issues that you have with your neighbors and your coworkers and things like that. The reason that you don't have love, joy, and peace in your life is because you don't know God and you aren't abiding in Him through faith and trust. So, dear friend, I invite you to love, joy, and peace through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today and you've got some questions about that, at the end of the service, would you come talk to me? I would love nothing more than to spend some time talking to you about what it means and how to become a Christian. That would be the best way for us to spend our time today. The second dimension that we need to think about in our three dimensions of relationships is the outward dimension. This is how we interact and relate to others. Our relationship with God will always shape our relationships with other people. The Christian will express patience, or maybe your Bible translation uses the word forbearance there, will be kind, and we will be good to other people. This is how we interact with others. So, patience or forbearance is the ability to endure injuries inflicted by others. Now, I want to let you in on a secret. All these people sitting around you, just take a good look real quick. Just look, you know. Just all these people around you, they're all sinners. Every single one of them. And you know what sinners do? Bad stuff. Sinners can be mean. Sinners can be selfish. Sinners can say hateful and hurtful things. Sinners can be real jerks. Did you know that? They really can. I know this by experience, because I'm a sinner. If you're going to be a person living in this world, you're going to bump up against sinners who are going to do mean, hateful, hurtful things to you. And the surprising thing is that even Christians are sinners. You know, we expect it from, you know, like if Charles Manson was your neighbor, you know, if Adolf Hitler was your uncle, you would expect them to be terrible, awful people, sure. But this sweet little old lady across the aisle from you? I mean, really? I mean, does she look like she's mean? Does she look sinful? But she is. And you and I have to learn how to be patient with each other. And that patience does not come naturally. We are very impatient naturally. This is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us learn to be patient with others, to endure injury inflicted by other people. Forbearance is the willingness and the tolerance of painful, irritating, unpleasant people and situations. Patience and forbearance is how we maintain our Christian witness and testimony when things get bad and tough. And that's the work of the Spirit in our lives. Second is kindness. We're going to relate to other people with kindness. Not only do we put up with others when they injure and irritate us, but we actively desire to treat other people gently and tenderly. This, I'm telling you, I got to stop preaching on this stuff because I just convict myself. I really do. This past week, I was at a place. I was waiting in line at Chick-fil-A to get a refill on my sweet tea. And I stood there, and I stood there, and I was ignored. And I'm getting irritated. And then this little kid comes right up, pushes her way to the front of the line in front of me after I've been waiting there 8 minutes. I know it was 8 minutes because I looked at my watch, my clock, my phone. And that kid gets that ice cream immediately. Man, I'm getting irritated. And I'm not being very patient, and I'm not being very kind. kindness means not only do we put up with other people, and the Holy Spirit is just saying, Noah, wake up. This is you right here. You're going to be preaching on this, and here you are getting irritated. You're just being selfish. Be kind. Be generous. Treat others gently and tenderly, just like the Lord treats us. Kindness means that we are generous and winsome toward other people, not because they deserve it, but because God is kind to us. And if God is going to be kind to us, how can we not be kind to other people? How can we not have a genuine concern for them? Patience and kindness is linked together with goodness, because goodness is moral and spiritual excellence. Goodness is the pursuit of all that is right and wholesome, beneficial, godly, and blessed. Goodness is happily doing and seeking what is best for other people. And this is how we are to relate to others. When we treat others with forbearance, kindness, and goodness, it's because of the love, joy, and peace that we have in our hearts through our relationship with God. So if you're not patient, kind, and good toward others, there might be a problem with your relationship with God. Well, that leads us to our third dimension that we need to think about, who we are on the inside. For love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness to flourish in our hearts, there must be three final characteristics produced by the Spirit in our hearts. The first is faithfulness. Faithfulness is loyalty and trustworthiness. It's being a person of integrity. It's being committed to what is good and right and best. Gentleness could also be understood as meekness. Gentleness is the humble attitude that is patiently submissive to God's will. Did you catch this in the songs we sang this morning? I know sometimes it feels like we just randomly throw stuff together, but there's kind of a purpose in all of this. And God just brings us all together. We recognize this morning that as we sing, God is holy. And as He's holy, the Spirit comes in us to make us holy. And so we surrender ourselves. And so the songs that we sang were essentially prayers today. If you sang them, you prayed. And as you sang and prayed, have thine own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. What you're saying is, make me like Jesus. And as Betty read Psalm 72, I love how as we just consecutively read through the Psalms, they all just always sync up. It's amazing how God's Word does that, isn't it? Here we this prayer of Solomon, a blessing for the king, a rejoicing of the king, ultimately points us to Jesus, doesn't it? It makes us think of Jesus. And we want that for us. We want Jesus to reign in us. And so that means that as He reigns in us, as He rules, He's going to cause us to be humble. We're going to surrender and submit ourselves to the to God. We're going to be teachable. We're going to say, Lord, show me, teach me, make me different. Make me like Jesus and help me to be considerate of others. Gentleness is this deference to the Lord and deference to others, and not selfish ambition or self-centered impulses in our lives. And this is a Holy Spirit thing. Because, man, we are born selfish. We live selfish lives. And we're naturally that way until the Holy Spirit makes us gentle or meek and humble. Well, finally, there's self-control here. Self-control is the restraint of passions and appetites, as well as the discipline to do what ought to be done in the manner and time in which it should be done. Self-control is what urges us to resist temptation and what urges us to purposefully seek righteousness. So self-control is that part where we work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Self-control says, all right, Spirit, you do what you need to do. Accomplish what you need to accomplish in me. And I'll do whatever you'd have me to do. So these are the three dimensions of a disciple's life. Upward to God is marked by love, joy, and peace. Outward to others is characterized by patience, kindness, and goodness. And inwardly, we are to be faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. Now keep in mind, all of these traits are linked together. Because the Holy Spirit produces these in us, He'll produce all of them. And we might lag behind in some trait or another, but all are going to be present to one degree or another. And if there is a trait that is weak or it's not cultivated, the other traits are going to suffer as well. If you don't have love, there will be no joy in your life. If there's no peace, you will not be patient and kind with others. On the other hand, if you have these traits, they're going to promote and support the other traits. So if you have self-control, then you're going to learn to be gentle. Faithfulness is the key to expressing and experiencing love. You are faithful to God and you're committed to Him and you experience and enjoy the love that comes from Him. And love, of course, promotes goodness. They're all linked together. This means that we ought to be concerned to see all of these traits grow and expand in our lives. And it's important to remember that it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not simply the result of self-effort on our part. The Holy Spirit produces these traits, yet the New Testament is full of commands for us to fulfill these things. So this shows us that we're to cooperate with the Spirit. So let me close with this illustration. Let me close this way. Some application. So those of you who have gardens, I know that you have tools. You know, you just don't wake up one morning and boom, there's a garden out there. You got to get out there and you got to work. You got to do some things. And so you have some tools. You have some implements. And I bet in your barrel of tools, garden tools, you have different instruments. You have a shovel. You have a hoe. You've got a rake. You have different things. You know, you can have those things, but you can't make the garden grow, right? I know because I've tried before. We've planted things and we produce nothing. But you can do things to help your garden grow. You can encourage, you can stimulate growth. So the Holy Spirit's the one who's producing these qualities, this spiritual fruit in us, but we want to help. So in the garden of our hearts, where the fruit of the Spirit is flourishing, we want to take the rake out of the barrel and use it to stir and till up the ground and to weed and deal with things so that the fruit can grow. I want you to imagine a rake. R-A-K-E. Four things to do to cooperate with the Spirit, to see the fruit of the Spirit produced in your life. R is for repent. You need to repent of any and all known sin immediately. And one way to identify sin in your life that you need to repent of is to use this list of the fruit of the Spirit and find out if you're deficient in any of them. Because if you are, that's the presence of sin in your life. If you aren't loving, then you're in sin. If you aren't being patient, you're being sinful. And so go through those nine characteristics and use those as points to examine your heart. And if you identify sin in your life, repent of it. Yes, that means you ask for forgiveness and you confess that it's sin, but it means that you turn away from those sinful activities and attitudes. You repent and you do this with the help of the Lord. You won't produce spiritual fruit if you keep piling rocks of sin and weeds of rebellion in your heart. A is for ask. You repent and then you ask. Ask for the Spirit to help and to work in your heart. If you find yourself deficient in any of these areas, ask for this particular trait. So I'm struggling with patience, apparently. Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to be humble. Help me to be meek and gentle. You start praying for those things, God will help you. But if we don't pray, if we don't ask, we don't get. God is teaching us to ask. So ask for the Spirit's help. K. The K in our rake is for kindle. We want to kindle affections for God through a diet of Scripture and worship and church engagement. Affection for God is the sunlight that grows the fruit. Worship and devotion is the rain that nourishes the fruit in our lives. So we want to kindle our affections for God by giving attention to the means of grace that we have. Scripture and prayer and worship and the fellowship of the saints. Those stir our hearts for God and make us produce the spiritual fruit of godliness. E is for endure. Don't quit. Don't stop desiring the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in your lives. If you're young, endure and ask God to make you fruitful for the Lord. If you're old, ask God to help you finish well. If you're in between, ask the Lord to help you persevere. But endure. Don't coast. Don't give up. Don't quit. This is the work of God in your lives. But you can cooperate with Him. What you're going to find as you do this is it's kind of like when I was a little kid, I'd go to my grandma and grandpa's house. And they had a big garden. And I always loved going to grandma and grandpa's, but on Saturdays during the spring, instead of getting to watch cartoons, she made us go out and work in the garden. And I don't know what else she grew in that garden, but I know she grew rocks. Because we'd have to, she'd say, we got to go get rocks out of the garden. You know, in Oklahoma, everything's just rocky there. It's not like the good soil we have here. But we'd go out and we'd pick up rocks. We'd get buckets and buckets of rocks. I thought, my goodness, I thought all these are gone. But no. You know, I thought, and Mom would say, well, you're helping Grandma with the garden. You know what, I think I picked maybe up a little piddly amount of rocks. It wasn't much. I didn't really help. Grandma did all the work. Grandma and Grandpa did. But I got out there on Saturdays and I did a little helping. You know, that's the way it is in our spiritual lives. It's really the Holy Spirit who's doing the heavy lifting. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work in us. So take heart. Your efforts, my efforts to go and rake our souls are going to be feeble. Because we're not going to repent as much as we ought to. We're not going to ask the way that we ought to. We won't kindle our affections the way that we should. We're going to give up and we won't endure the way that we ought to. But you know what? On Saturday mornings, just like Grandma dragging me out of bed and saying, you can't watch cartoons, we're going to the garden. The Holy Spirit is going to continue to work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will produce good fruit. So take heart today, dear friends. Take heart. God is doing good things in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Holy Spirit who accomplishes the good purposes You have in us and for us and through us. May we produce the spiritual fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if we're weak in any of these areas, help us, Father. Spirit, work in us. Cultivate these godly traits. Make us like Jesus. And dear Father, I do pray this morning that if there's someone here who's not a Christian today, that this would be the day, this would be the time that they come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We ask this for the glory of Your name, for the sake of Your kingdom, for the good of Your people, through Jesus Christ. Amen.